the basket here. You each take one of these snacks. You did a wonderful job this morning, girls. Adeline and Eleanor. Good job, kiddos. If you're flying and the pilot says, I'm going to try to make it some climb and we're going to put the tailwinds behind us, I'm going to try to put the pedal to the metal on my sermon. So, a lot going on, but thank you for hanging in there. A lot of really important things. I appreciate everyone's contribution today. It's been very moving and very touching. So, it's a wonderful thing to be part of. It might have been for a month or two, three at the most, if I recall, while there was deep sorrow and shock, it was a breath of fresh air, and it seemed like something that I have not experienced. What am I talking about? I'll tell you in just one brief moment. Let's first pray. Father, as we look into your word today, enlighten our hearts, Father, may we glean truths to apply to our Christian lives that we may, Father, love you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Lots of talk about what happened 21 years ago. I remember where I was. I was sitting at my cubicle at EDS. I wouldn't be surprised if our bishop, Jim Dunlop, was a few offices down. That's where he worked, too, for a little bit, well, for a while. But I remember it was about 8:34 when my colleague said, I don't know what happened, Eric, and he probably called. He has called me about 8:34 or 8:40 every morning on September 11th, and kind of just to kind of in memory of that event. And we do remember very vividly. I know where I was, and you remember those emotions, disbelief, shock, horror, concern. But you know what happened after that? We stuck together. I would be willing to bet in that group of first responders and EMTs, that in that group of people, there were Republicans and Democrats and Independents who were marching up those stairs to give their lives and probably not come back down alive to say Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. There was something profound that was taking place. And I don't think it lasted a long time, did it? But we came together as a country. And if you're too young to remember, it was amazing. For a time period, we put aside our differences, and we came together, and we did amazing things. I love my country. I love it dearly. We're not perfect. We have a lot to do. But at times I wonder, is it possible, especially in the climate that we are in today with division, to get back to something like that? Is that attainable? Is it attainable? My Bible says all things are possible through God. I think we can. I want to first say one thing. I am going to push through here fast. I am okay with debate. I think it is a great thing that we have political discourse, that we have argument and passionate debate. That is a whole lot better than living in a country where it's a dictatorship. The system of checks and balances is a healthy thing. And I think it's a wonderful thing that we can have spirited debate. But at times I wonder, where do you and I, as the people of God, come into this? Where do we, how do we fit into this as the people of God? I think we have a chance to get kind of back to that if we do a couple things. The first thing is, if we take Jesus' prayer to heart. Now, my passage from John was from Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. Now, a lot of us think of the Lord's Prayer as "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." But really, that was the disciples' prayer. That's what Jesus taught the disciples to pray. This is probably, in reality, more the Lord's Prayer. This is in his farewell address to his disciples. He would shortly be betrayed. Right? But he is praying to his Father, God the Father. This might be, it almost certainly is, the most extensive treatment of a conversation, so to speak, within the Holy Trinity. We have God the Son beseeching God the Father. But what's his prayer about in a sentence? It was about that the people of God, you and I, would be one, that we would be unified just as God is one. Just as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are in unity, Christ's desire was that you and I would be one. The next thing we can do, if we want to take Jesus' prayer seriously, is, well, how can we achieve that? How can we take that prayer seriously? Are there any tangible ways for us to put that into practice in our arm? The second reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 12, give us a lot of inspiration if we want to be serious about this. Is that a priority for you and I, that we would be one with the people of God? We can have differences. We should have differences. Tell you what, I love being in a church where there are differences. If you all believe the same way, that would be boring. And it would almost seem like a cult. Don't follow me. Follow that guy. Right? That's a wonderful thing that we have differences, but when we're in this place, or when we're together, we know what takes precedence. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I could spend time, you don't have a lot. I want to encourage you to go through that passage, Romans 12, 9 through 21, and look at it. High level, it tells us to make love our priority. Sincere love, not a superficial love that we kind of give lip service for, but it is sincere love. It tells us that we should repay bad, or we should repay evil with what? More evil and more anger? No, good, good. Are we doing that? Are we repaying evil with good? Are we throwing curses, or are we throwing blessings back on people? I want to challenge us all to do that. I love the fact that we are a congregation. I think you do this already. But that we have different perspectives on things, and there should be. I would never suggest anyone soften their convictions on things. Never. I'm just saying, as we have dialogue and conversations about things, let love reign and be in those conversations. You are, when I have a discussion with someone who might not agree with me, that is a sister or brother in Christ. Amen?